Welcome back to Players Club, live from the Flying Tee Club studio here at Roxo Media House. I'm your host, Jules Conti, joined by two more TCU football transfers, Andre Selden and Jace Oliver. To start off, an easy question, why'd you choose to transfer to TCU?
I'll start. So I did 5 years at Tulsa. I had a great time there, enjoyed my time there. Great relationships and stuff. But I was looking for my last year. I knew the only thing that would hold me back from like a real draft profile, you know, for me to improve my draft stock. A lot of them just say like, you know, they want to see me play on the higher level of consistency. So I knew entering the portal after the year I had, like I would have a whole bunch of looks and being able to come back home to Texas and play near my family. My last year, while playing on a larger level in the Big 12, it was kind of like a dream come true, along with the exceptional opportunity. So something that I have to capitalize on.
Yeah.
And for me, no, I wasn't really expecting to enter the portal and stuff. You know, we had a great season at New Mexico State. And we had a fresh new staff and stuff like that. So, you know, we end the season in the conference championship, had a bowl game and everything like that, had a good season myself. And then, like, all of our coaches left from the defensive side of the ball and went, you know, went up to Power 5 school and stuff like that right before, like, the portal deadline. So I was kind of stuck in between making a decision on do I want to stay and who's going to get hired at my school. And then my head coach also stepped down to go to Vandy. So it was kind of like, you know, do I want to stay and take a risk on the new staff here and stuff like that? And I know how that goes. I was at Michigan. I had three new coaching staffs, and that didn't go well for me. So it kind of was just like a jump of faith, like, you know, I'm going to do this portal thing all over again, even though I don't really want to. But, you know what I'm saying, I'm really blessed to be here. What I was looking for in the school was, like, the best people, you know what I'm saying? Coach Kais is the best in his profession, you know, along with Coach Dykes. Like, those guys are amazing, and they had a great plan for me. And a great plan for me to succeed, which was better than all the other schools that I was deciding between. So that's how I'm here today.
And you mentioned our coaching staff specifically. So what is it that you look for in a coach when you're choosing a school to play for?
Really, like how I did it in the portal process my second time, which is breaking it down. Like, okay, I know we have all the facilities and stuff like that and things like that, which I really didn't care about because we didn't have that. We didn't have none of that at my old school. It was just, okay, like, what's the plan for me here? And I was going to fit in the defense, basically. I made the portal process simple. It was going to be, what is my fit in defense, and how do you plan to use me and stuff like that? And how can you move me around and use my versatility?
Yeah. What about you? What do you look for in a coach?
For a position coach specifically, for me, I'm like, to play defense back, I'm not the fastest guy. I know that. So I need a coach that's going to have me prepared mentally as much as I can be. And I feel like with Coach Gonzalez, who is my position coach here now, he's probably the best fit for that. He has a large resume of guys that he's put in the league, and he's known to do that. And he's a technician type of guy. So I knew that was something that I was looking for, and just someone to coach me on. You know, like, he didn't know I'm doing something right. You know, like, how can I do it better? And he was something like that was something he was adamant about. So I knew.
I like that mentality. Like, I'm doing it well, but like, how can I just take it one step further? I know you guys are kind of working with the team already. It's mostly just preseason lifting. Spring ball doesn't start until, I think we said March 23rd. But have you seen that within these coaches already?
Man, yes. Like, they get the best of us out of us daily. Like, I know we with Coach Kais a lot, and he preaches like a lot of more so the mental side of ball. Besides the fact of like the physical side, because we lift a lot of stuff too, but they focus a lot on the middle side of the ball. And you know, when we're with the coaches and meetings and stuff too, because we meet and stuff over the defense, they get it. A lot of us from the meeting side too. So, yeah.
Just to expand on that, we've already, you know, for about a week now, we've been able to do like the no ball walkthrough, the CWA allows now. So, you know, just to kind of to mesh with the coaches on the football scene. Football side of things before spring ball actually starts. You know, it's always good to do that. You know, see how they coach on the field and in the meeting room. It's always nice. On the strength and conditioning side, man, that staff is incredible. I feel like he said on the mental side, like it's just bar none, like how they prepare you and physically, you know, this is the best that I've ever felt. So they're doing a good job.
Now, going back a little bit, you mentioned that you're from Texas a little earlier. Have you played with any of these guys previous to being here? Is there anyone that you walked on the field and you were like, I know you, like we however long ago, like played some ball together or?
So not necessarily together, but like Cam Smith is another guy who just came in, and he played at Memphis. So we played against each other a lot. It was always fun that matching up against those guys. But aside from him, I don't think there's any other guys that I've been able to play with that are currently on the team.
And then more specifically, family, you're coming back home. Is your family super excited to be able to get out to some more games and have you close?
Like even on my official visit, when I was coming, like I was able to have my nieces were able to come by, and my uncle stays in Plano. I got a couple friends live in Dallas, and just having them around for an official visit, like before I even chose the school,
Yeah.
to come, like that was just something that was kind of like eye-opening for me, because previously being at Tulsa, that was something that I got every now and then, but like not as easy as it
Yeah.
was. So I mean, coming back to playing for them, that was a good thing, especially like me being from a small town, like I really cherish my relationships with my people,
Yeah.
from a spot where like everybody knows each other. So being able to play and have some friends and family be able to watch me, that's something that I really want.
So are their closets already full of purple? They're prepared for
Oh
the
yeah.
season to start.
It's nice, yeah. They've already been by the bookstore.
Of course. Everyone's first stop.
Yeah.
Bookstore.
Yeah, that place is crazy. So they've already got some parking lot.
Good. And you, on the other hand, it's like you're running away from home. You're just getting further and further with each school. How does your family feel about that? Do they love Texas or they're still getting used to the adjustment?
I mean, they feel like it's better in terms of like being able to come to the game and stuff, because like New Mexico is kind of like a, I call it like a third world place. It's kind of because there's no direct flights into New Mexico, and
Yeah.
then El Paso, Texas is the airport that we fly out of, which is an hour away from the school. So it's kind of hard. It was kind of hard to for my parents and people to get to games down there, but I feel like it'd be easier, and they're glad that I chose here too. It'd be easier because like you could fly right into Dallas, and the airport's 25 minutes away. And my mom and dad, they stay in McDonough, Georgia, so it's
Okay.
kind of closer, but it's still far from Detroit from the rest of my
Yeah, I
family.
was
So
gonna say.
they're gonna have to get on a flight down here regardless, the flight going to come. But yeah, it's far away, but we're gonna make it work somehow.
Yeah,
So we're gonna make it
I'm sure
work.
they'll still make it out for a few games at least. It'll
Yeah,
be exciting.
try to get down here for the spring game in April, and then for some games, some first home game stuff like that. So we're gonna make it work out for sure.
Yeah, of course. What age did you guys start playing football? I know, think like way back, but.
I know I was 5. I was 5 years old.
And that's still like flag football. You're not tackling yet,
Yeah,
or
it was. Well, it was flat. No, yeah, I was tackling first.
I was gonna say,
I
you're on
tackled.
the
I tackled
defense.
before I even played flag football, which is kind of weird. I started off with tackle, then did flag in
Interesting.
off season of when I was like 7, 8. So, yeah.
For me, I started when I was about 4. That was a 3-year age gap between me and my oldest brother. My dad wanted to get me started early, so I played up. I think I was playing with like the 6-year-olds at the time. But where I'm from, Fairfield, Texas, we don't have flag football, so
Got it.
I was out there, big shoulder pads, around very,
It
and yeah, I was blessed to be able to get started early. But there was no flag football. Like, I've never played flag football. That's not
Wow.
from like high school or 7-on-7, and that's not even really considered flag football. Like, that's the closest I've got to flag football.
They just threw you guys right in there. They're like, this is the sport. Go for
Oh yeah.
it. Did you play any other sports growing up or?
Yeah. So growing up, got into a little bit of baseball. I was
Fair
horrible.
enough. Difficult.
Very good. Couldn't hit the ball at all. So kind of gave that up pretty early. Was kind of chubby as a child. Didn't have that experience for soccer. No, I didn't want to do that. But basketball and football have always been the main two for me. And then in high school, I did the track thing. But basketball, football, and track are the three that I participated in.
You feel track helped you with like your other two sports a lot? Just
Oh, for sure. I was not the fastest guy, but I did run the 400, and So
I hated the 400 in track. I ran track. I hated the 400.
I was like, the only thing that I was worth, you know, really competing in and, you know, get a point from the team or whatever. So yeah, that was my race. And, you know, training when you're doing the 400, you do a lot of 200s of training, you know, just to work that top end speed. So I was probably, that was my race.
Got it.
And then for me, I did track growing up. I was a sprinter. I know I did. It was a point in time where I was playing Little League football. I can remember this vividly. Our coach for my Little League team had made us do push-ups all practice. It's like a punishment. And I went home crying. I called my dad. I was like, I want to quit. I want to play basketball. And he was like, he ain't letting me. So it was that little thing. I wanted to quit football and stuff like that. But besides that, no, I just played football all my life. And then I ran track in middle school and high school. And I was a sprinter for the most part. I couldn't do long distance either. I'm just sprinting. I'm doing that.
Feels crazy. Like a form of torture to me.
Yeah.
And that's like, a personal thing, but yeah. It's not my cup of tea for sure.
Yeah, me either. I was 60, 100, and a 200 meter guy. So, yeah.
Did you guys have any role models that you looked up to, like growing up within the sport or outside of the sport?
For sure. So, my older brother. He had the ability. He was very talented. He ended up playing at Tickleton for 4 years. So he was somebody that I looked for to, like, you know, always talking to, because, you know, being from a small town, like, we didn't have access to the trainers and the extra people, you know, pull us along and really help us and, like, getting better at specific things within the sport. You know, it was kind of just like, go out there and use your raw ability and, you know, if you're athletic enough, you'll probably be better than the guy in front of you. But he was able to, like, break down the sport for me, really teach me a lot of things within the game of football, and teach me a lot of stuff. So I would say he's one of them. And then my high school football coach, John Beckner, he's a great role model for me. Helped me tremendously during the recruiting process and everything that I did academically. In all sports, and just a great guy that I still talk to, you know, every chance that I get, like, to this day.
Yeah.
And for me, for, like, my dad, you know, without him, I wouldn't be here right now. I mean, he's been able to steer me from the wrong direction to the right lane so many times in my life, as far as decisions and stuff like that. So my dad, you know, life and football, on the field and off the field, so, like, he's my biggest role model. And then when it comes to, like, football and, like, far as having a vivid image of, like, where I want to be in life and things like that, someone who's came before me, Jordan Lewis, he played for the Dallas Cowboys. He's from Detroit as well. You know, he grew up down there with me, and everybody from Detroit, like, who make it out, like, play football and stuff, we all close. And he was, like, one of the first ones, you know, to make it out. And, you know, he went to Michigan too and stuff like that. He's a few years older than me. I can't remember the class he graduated out of, but, you know, he's on his second contract with the Cowboys. So I was able to see him, you know, grow, you know, from high school, all the way from Little League to high school, you know what I'm saying, then go to Michigan, which was my dream school. I was able to go there too. So it was like seeing him grow and just be able to be in his back pocket, you know what I'm saying, while he was up there training with him and stuff while I was in high school, and then see him make it to the league and stuff like that. And now he's up there balling with the Cowboys right down the street, you know. So now it's like, that's where I want to be, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, he's one of the biggest role models in my life. And then my boy that played for the Jets, Sauce Gardner, who's like a brother to me. We grew up playing Little League together for the Detroit Tigers. Now, just being able to see him grow from where he came as an overlooked guy, much like myself, you know what I'm saying? He was small and stuff like that in high school. He was overlooked. And then he got in college. He grew up, stuff like that. You know, just he's another role model in my life as well, too.
Is it inspiring to see, like, people that you know so closely make it and, like, accomplish their dreams and are doing things that you want to do?
Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, where we come from, there's not a lot of people that make it out for real. You know what I'm saying? That really gives, that gives us hope, the little kids and stuff like that growing up. That gives a lot of me and my homeboys hope, because we all close, you know what I'm saying? We all know the same people. Being able to see the people who are older than us that came before us make it out, it just gives us hope every single day, you know what I'm saying? Even on bad days when you think, like, man, like, how can I get through this, stuff like that? And you could just be like, shoot, bro did it. I know I can do it. But just be, you know, stuff like that. I just hope you keep going.
That's awesome. Now, pulling us out of football a little bit, what are some hobbies that you guys have that you like to do when you're not playing football? I know it's little time, but still.
So for me, like one by myself, of course I play video games, use that time, you know, just to relax, you know, maybe, you know, hop on Fortnite or 2K or whatever it is, get in the party with a couple of friends.
Yeah.
That's probably number one. And then it goes to reading.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm an avid reader, read all the time, try to read every single day.
Do you have a favorite book? Not to put you on the spot, because I know. What is it?
My favorite book right now? Well, I have two.
So, okay, no, yeah, give me both.
It's called, I have one, is Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday.
Okay.
And number two is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
What genres are these?
So Ego is the Enemy, that's like a, what they consider like kind of like a self-help.
Okay.
You know, like an awakening type of book.
Yeah.
I believe Paulo Coelho book, The Alchemist, is considered like adventure fiction or something like that.
Okay.
Something like that.
No, I just asked because I love to read, but like I'm always looking for new books, but I love thrillers.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm trying to get in there.
I read this book and don't judge it before you read it because it's by Colleen Hoover, which is that like author that went like all the teenage girls went crazy for. It was called Verity. That's an incredible thriller. Or there's this book called The Silent Patient, and I can't remember the author, and I'll tell you after, like I'll look it up.
Okay.
It's like it messes with your head so badly, but it is so good. Like you would love it if you were into thrillers. That one's more like, I feel like it may be more your speed than Verity, but okay. It's so good. I have to find the author for you afterwards.
I got to see what that stuff about. And then, outside of reading, I was like, the last point is, you know, like, just relax and, you know, watch some Netflix and chill. But that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. What about you, other than football and schoolwork?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, schoolwork, man. I say I'm a big gamer myself. I've been a gamer my whole life, playing games, stuff like that. So I say gaming is really like my number one hobby. Obviously, whenever I have time nowadays. But outside of that, I like to try. I'm a big food guy. Like I like to try like a lot of new places. Like I don't like eating the same. I get from the same place, stuff like that. So I'm a big food guy. Like I'll just try random food in the area, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Food. Really.
Food. Food. You cook or just try other people's cooking?
See, before I transferred, like that short window between like when I transferred into the portal and then like when the season was over, it was like for like two, it was a 2 week window. But like in those 2 weeks, I told myself like I was going to try to cook something new like every week. Like
okay. The
first week I had made spaghetti, which was good. I ain't gonna lie. It was my first time making it. My grandma taught me how to make it like on the phone. And then the second week I had made some pork chops, like some baked pork chops, which is good too. But yeah, I'm a big foodie. And then like movies too. Like I'll go to the movie theater by myself. Like if it's a good movie, the movies in theater, like I'll go by myself. Like I don't care. I'll go watch the movie, just have some chill time, stuff like that. So that's pretty much it for me for real.
Then speaking of movies, what's one movie that you could watch on repeat for the rest of your life?
I say probably Paid in Full for me. It's like it's a drug movie, an old drug movie from like the 1990s. Yeah, it's a drug movie from 1990s. But I picked that just because like it's not just like a hardcore drug movie, but like it's comedy in it. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like young black men like me. But what I get from the movie is like they're just showing you they come from nothing like I came from. Like they come from the trenches and they showed me like that there's always a way to get up no matter what. Like they told you never give up. So they started from the bottom of the movie and by the end of the movie, like they had money and stuff. They was getting money. So, you know what I'm saying?
They made it.
They made it. They was getting money. So that's what, you know what I'm saying? It's a motivator for me in a sense.
Good.
For me, I would say The Grown-Ups. With Adam Sandler.
I love that movie.
Great movie.
So funny.
I say that because, you know, like, that it's like this joke that me and my friends say. So, like, whether we're having an amazing day or something bad happened, we always, like, it's like a joke to just say we're going to end the day by just watching Grown Ups. Because, like, no matter the mood you're in, like, it's either going to boost it or enhance it. So, like, if you're in a great mood, you know, it'll just keep you in that same mood. And if you didn't have the best day, we feel like, you know, it'll just boost your day up. So I'd say the grown ups, they're number one and number two.
That was gonna be my next question. Which one?
I would say number one.
Okay, yeah. The OG movies are just for the most part, I know there's like a few exceptions where like the second like part of a movie will come out and it's incredible. Right. But for the most part, I feel like the OG film is always the best version. Sure. I like that. And you always watch it with your friends or even when you're alone?
It's usually by ourselves, but it would be just like, you know, before if we're in the game, the party chat or whatever, like we'll just say like, I'm about to watch.
You're like, guys, I gotta log off. It's time for the grown ups. Okay, one more question for you guys before we go to break. If you could pick a superpower that you feel would best help your position in football, what superpower would you pick? I feel like they could be similar, but
it's really two, but like, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I feel like it's, yeah, like super speed.
But I'm thinking like teleport, bro. Like it's OD. Teleport. Like, you can't.
I wasn't even thinking that.
Teleport is like you can't. I feel like you can't pick nothing else when it comes to the power. Like, bro, you could teleport anywhere you want. Not even just outside of football too. Like,
yeah.
So I'd be like, I'm trying to go on a little spring break trip. I could teleport there.
Well, that's always my go-to. Because I'm like,
I could teleport right there. I could teleport somewhere right now. I'd be like, boom, like teleporting is
like. I've always wanted to go to Europe. I don't want to pay for those flights. Boom,
yeah, you
Italy.
Gotta pay like that. Teleporting is crazy. Like I could teleport in front of a receiver, and intercept.
Yeah, I was gonna say all of a sudden balls like, in your hand.
Yeah, nice.
Wow, that was such a good one. I was thinking like you guys were gonna say like super strength or just like brick wall, you know?
Maybe if I was like a D tackle, super like strength zone.
Wow,
like,
I like that one.
For like every position. Yeah.
We're gonna take a short break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more football.
We're lucky to have a collective that's as strong and as powerful as the Flying Tee Club. It's a big deal for us. It is a game changer. You know, I would just encourage any fans out there to support it. Everyone asks me, what's the biggest priority? And I say, NIL is big. Please jump on board, show these student athletes how much they mean to you. The thing about NIL is I think there's a right and a wrong way to do it. And the Flying Tee Club's doing it the right way. Let's keep winning. Join the Flying Tee Club today.
Welcome back into the Flying Tee Club studio here at Roxo Media House. So you guys both had very accomplishing careers at your old universities. So what are some individual goals that you're looking for coming into a new team with a new coaching staff, new state?
For me, it's really just, you know what I'm saying? You know, we both came from G5 conferences. You know, they weren't Power 5 conferences and stuff. So people say that we played against lesser talent and stuff like that and that we wouldn't be good, you know what I'm saying, playing against P5 schools and stuff like that. So for me, I just say like being able to prove myself on the biggest stage of them all, and then, you know what I'm saying, be able to leave like no doubters in anything, in any phase of my game. So I feel like that's the biggest goal of mine, regardless whatever like stats come from this season and stuff like that. When people turn the tape on, I want them to be able to see the same, you know what I'm saying, same Andre that was at New Mexico State that made them same plays against, you know what I'm saying, the bigger competition here, you know what I'm saying, the Big 12 and stuff like that. And then the Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever. So that's my biggest thing for this season.
Yeah.
That was a great answer. I don't know how about that. but just to kind of expand on that, like you said, coming from the smaller schools, you know, like no matter what you do, there's always going to be a doubt, like on whether you can truly play at this level or not, or on the next level. But for me, I would just say I just want to solidify that, like, at my size, I can cover. So, you know, was able to catch a couple of interceptions this past year. I'm hoping to capitalize and keep that rolling this year, just to bring up a small stat. But I would say, like, that's my biggest thing. I just want to show that I can cover on both of them because I feel like at our position, that's the number one priority. Is, you know, keeping the ball out of the air, stopping big plays. So if you can cover the guy in front of you, you're doing your job at a high level.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of him, you know what I'm saying? We both play the same position. He a bigger guy and stuff like that. I'm a smaller guy for my position. I feel like me too, like I want to be able to show that, you know what I'm saying? I can get down and get nitty and gritty, you know what I'm saying? People know that like I can cover and stuff. I'm twitchy and stuff like that. But I want to be able to show that I am able to get in the trenches, you know what I'm saying? Be able to take on blocks, you know what I'm saying? And tackle and get dirty with my teammates too.
Yeah, prove yourselves. I love that. Do you have any like pregame or postgame rituals or routines that you're looking to carry over?
So yeah, I have two nieces, 6 and 7, and they were raised by my grandma, so, or by my mom, their grandma. So I was able to, like, during my last couple of years of high school, you know, I was able to see them grow. You know, they're a big motivator for me and everything that I do. So if I'm able to just, you know, get on FaceTime with them before the game or the day before the game, you know, to hear their voices and see them before the game, that's all I usually need. Playing some good music before the game, reading a couple books, you know, just going over my notes. So it really keeps it, like, just zone my focus in 10 times more. Even if you go.
Yeah.
And then for me, one ritual like that I got that's been there my whole career really is, like, the day before the game, like, in the hotel, like, me and my dad hop on FaceTime, and, like, he's crazy about the football stuff. Like, he watching film too, so, like, he'd tell me certain stuff, like, that he see on film, regardless if it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
We both watch it together. Like, he'd tell me stuff that he see on film, or, like, stuff that I should look out for. Like, it'd be, like, every Friday or every day before, you know what I'm saying, the game, that he'd call me, we hop on the phone, just chop it up about stuff that he see, or if it's a certain receiver, like, that I'm guarding that week, he'll tell me things that he sees from him and stuff like that, where the quarterbacks that we're playing. So that's a ritual that I have every week. And then, like, as far as music, like, I'll take, like, a walk, like a 100-yard walk down the back of whatever stadium we're playing in. I'm just listening to gospel music. It just kind of, like, simmers me down, you know what I'm saying? And so that's another ritual for me.
Yeah. Your dad is, like, your OG coach. I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I grew up playing sports, not football, obviously, but your dad's the one in the yard with you, like, throwing the ball and making sure. So he is, like, him watching the film seems very on brand.
For sure.
Going off, and these may be very similar, so if they are, it's okay. Do you have any superstitions, like something you have to do, like a certain sock or, I don't know, anything?
Well, me, it'd be whatever color cleats I wear, like, I got to wear the same color gloves. That's the only one that I feel like that's a superstition for me. Like, it just kind of throw me off if they're two different colors. But, like, that's the only thing for me. I'm usually just more chill. Like, I'm prepared for the game, blah, 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 blah. But this is one thing I look and be like, those got to be the same color.
Well, you, like, look down, it's like, ugh.
Besides that, I really be chilling. Like, I don't really believe in too much other stuff. But
okay.
Yeah. So, for me, it's kind of just been going on for the past, like, year and a half. I have to wear 2 sleeves in a game. If I don't wear those 2 sleeves, I just don't feel like I'm going to perform at my best. And then another one is I have to, like, spaghetti has to be on my pregame.
Okay.
Spaghetti has to be on my
spaghetti. So, like, was that a part of your pregame meal, though? Like, already? Or was you like, I got to have this?
You know, something my mom and my auntie kind of got me on before college. But, you know, they just, you know, they felt like, the carbohydrates and protein. The good amount of energy before the game. But yeah, like, even like 11 a.m. game, like, when everybody else is eating, you know, their eggs, pancakes, like.
You got a big bowl in front of you.
Shout out to Coach Wilson, because, like, he would make sure that we were finished.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's so fun. And you'll eat it the day of.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, a lot of people will eat, like, a lot of carbs and stuff the day before because it's supposed to, like, transfer into energy and whatever. But it's, like, day of, giant bowl, no one speak to me, I'm eating my spaghetti. Oh, okay. No, amazing. I love that. Do you guys have any games that – I know the, like, schedule came out. I'm not sure if you've looked at it too in-depth yet. But are there any specific games you're excited for this year?
Yeah, I'll start. So I would say there's two. SMU number one.
And fair enough.
Baylor.
Okay, yes.
I just know that those are, like, SMU, that's kind of like, you know, cross-town rival type of deal.
Little iron skillet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's a game that I've watched the past, I think they play like the past 4 years or three or four years or something like that. So that's a game that I'm ready to be a part of. And SMU beat us at Tulsa last year. So, you know, I want to be able to get the opportunity.
You need a little bit of revenge. You know, it's a different team, but it's still revenge.
Get that back on them. And then the game against Baylor. I know that's a pretty big game every year for Tulsa.
Yeah.
I just want to see what that environment's like.
Okay. You?
And then, yeah. Rivalry game is always number one. Like, whatever team you play for, like, you got to beat whatever teams are rivals in state, like
There you go.
those are the most hyped up games, stuff like that. Like you gotta win those are personal. But then besides like all the rivalry games, I say Cincinnati, one of my best friends playing on Cincinnati. We both transferred from New Mexico State this past offseason. And he was considering coming to TCU. He didn't want to come. So yeah, we gonna
So it's game time,
yeah, we gonna
basically.
we gonna see him when we see him. And that's a away game too, I think. So we're gonna go out there. No, yeah, I'm excited for that
Hit
game.
him a little extra hard. Give him
Yeah.
a shove.
Give him a little shove or something.
Ref's not looking.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a little extra kick in me for that game though. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my best friends, so.
Yeah. Is that like what you guys look forward to, being able to play people that maybe you grew up playing or
All
played with like in the past? Is it more exciting when you're going into a game knowing that they're on the other side of the ball?
right. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, of course, like whoever has those bragging rights, you know,
Of course.
they get to talk all they want to for the next 12 months, or if that's the only time they'll ever get to meet each other. So I mean, those bragging rights are awesome. I have a couple of guys on Oklahoma State that I look forward to playing, and even over at SMU. So that's why I say, like, that's just other game where it's like, it's kind of personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree too. Like, you just be like, you calling the guy every like during the week. You like tell his teammate like get ready, stuff like that. Like you talking trash during the
Of
week,
course,
stuff. You
leading up.
call them like, hey, make sure I'm in the game plan, stuff like that. Like it's all fun. It's like all fun stuff like that. But it's fun competition. So whenever somebody else that is on the other side of the ball and stuff like that, or even on like if you both play defense, like my boy last year, we had played Auburn and he played D tackle for Auburn. And like I played corner, so like I'm
Yeah.
right by the sideline.
Yeah.
And Auburn Stadium is like the game was crazy. And my boy played D tackle. So he's like, I'm on the sideline guarding the receiver. And he's like right where you at. He's just talking. He in my ear. I can hear him. I'm talking back and forth with him and stuff like that. And like I get a PBU, I get up, I'm talking, I'm running down the sideline. So it's just like stuff like that. It's like it just kicks you up to extra gear and stuff. And like those type of games, I feel like when you know somebody personally on the other team.
And it's fun because you can do that and you know that like they're not going to take it personally afterwards. Like you're both chirping each
It's
other.
like
You're both
blind.
going back and forth. It's not like some random like guy that you kind of just maybe got hit a little too hard. Now you're going after, but now all of a sudden it's
It won't be that.
beef. What is the best piece of advice that you've received from a coach, a mentor, or even like a teammate?
I just say, really be where your feet are and be grateful where you are. I feel like a lot of times, I don't know about other people, but I got this advice from my old coach at my old school. I used to think about a lot of external things in my life, which I feel like kind of knocked me off course a little bit when I was a younger kid, growing up playing ball and stuff like that. So when he gave me that advice, it kind of made my life simple in a way. You know what I'm saying? Be where your feet are, like trying to accomplish your goals one step at a time, and you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So I feel like be where your feet are just made my life a lot simple and made my goals, you know what I'm saying, straightforward and narrow path.
Yeah.
I would say I have two of them that I kind of like try to use daily that people have kind of incorporated into me. So the first one is day by day to see a better day. So that's just saying, like, no matter how your day goes today, like, when that day's over, don't let that carry into the next day, whether it's good or bad. Like, have a better day than you had the day before. And that always like keeps me pretty level-headed, just trying to have the best day possible. The second one is like, I think it's what if it turns out better than you could ever imagine. And that kind of like just keeps me motivated to, like do my job today because, like it may be better than you ever can imagine. So, and you never know because, just society, like they'll try to bring in statistics about what could happen, what usually happens and like where you need to should be focused. But I feel like if you have the mindset of like, what if it turns out better than you could ever imagine? I just feel like it leaves an open mind and, you go about everything in a different mindset. So that's only the two that I try to go by.
Yeah, I like that. I've never heard anything like that before. That makes sense. That's a good one. Can you guys bring me through, because I know we have different ones, your daily routines right now in like preseason, because grad school, undergrad, different workloads. So bring me through like the school and the football, everything.
So I mean, depending on whether our day gets started at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. After that worked out, I'm usually free at, we're usually done by like 11:30 or so with athletics. I try to spend from like, or just get all my school, if I have any school work, because I'm only in two online classes, you know, fortunately. Try to get all that done by 2. But then after that, I mean, I have the whole day to myself. So if I want to take a quick nap or something, I always have that time. And then after that, try to get a meal in around 4, 5. And then after that, I'm just cool, you know, whether it's playing a game, reading, or just chatting with some friends, relaxing. So my day's not too bad. I can't complain at all.
I think you're like shaking over here listening.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, whether we starting at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, first thing I do when I start my day, I wake up and connect to the speaker, like while I'm in the bed, play the music, then I hop out. So, cause I gotta wake up in the morning, cause I know I'm gonna have a long day. You know what I'm saying? I never know what Coach Kai's gonna have for us. You know what I'm saying? We get in there with him. It's like we walk in the door for the workout, and the music is just loud. So it's like loud rock music. So it's like, okay, at that point, it's like, okay, now I really gotta wake up. I really gotta go. Boom. So go through workout stuff like that. And basically, after workouts, for me, it's just, I mean, I got a set schedule now, pretty much, but like I know today, there's a take today, for example.
Yeah.
At Wednesday, I got 3 classes today. Like today, I've been up since 5 a.m., and I'm probably going to be doing something every hour of the day until I get home from my 9:40 class that ends at 9:40. I got class at 7, from 7 to 9:40. Which on a good day, it ends at like 8:40. So
yeah,
but we gotta be.
They don't always hold you the whole time.
We gotta be up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. That's the time I get up when we got Thursday run. So yeah, I'm pretty much always doing something, unless it's Monday. I get a good amount of time, and then Thursday and Fridays aren't too bad. Really, only day is really like bad. It's like Wednesdays.
At least that's like middle of the week.
Yeah, like
you kind of have time to prepare for it and then time to come off of it.
It's like Monday and then like the end of the week is not bad, but Tuesday and Wednesday are like the days where it's like, because like closer you get to the weekend, I'll be like, all right, the weekend about to be.
It's coming.
I got 2 days off for sure on the weekend, but like during the week, it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes, some days I just go with the flow. I ain't gonna lie. Just,
fair enough.
Yeah.
One day at a time. Who knows? It could be the best day yet.
Yeah, that's what I just be like, I don't know. But whenever I just get tired or something, I'd be like, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm blessed to be here. So that's a lot of people that would want to be in my shoes dealing with my problems versus theirs. So that's kind of what I lean on when things get bad.
Yeah, good way to look at it. Yeah. Keep you motivated.
Yeah, so.
Well, thank you guys for joining me today. I had a lot of fun talking to you, and good luck for the start of spring ball. And I'm very excited to see you guys in the Carter.
Appreciate it.
For everyone behind the scenes here at Roxo Media House, I'm Jules Conti, and go Frogs!
Go Frogs!